This is 5:23:88. I'm recording in Kresge. And if you could give me your full name and age.
My name is Elizabeth Byington, and I'm 20 years old.
Major?
Graphic design.
Your hometown and just a description of the street you grew up on.
My hometown is Warren, which is right outside the city of Detroit, so it's a basically suburban area. Not too many kids running around, a lot of very conservative people. It's pretty much a blue-collar town.
Brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I've got one older sister and a younger sister and a younger brother.
These are just nuts and bolts questions. The occupations of your parents?
My mom is an LPN, and my dad is self-employed. He sells truck and bus parts.
Mm-hmm. Have you traveled outside of Michigan?
Yeah. I've been to North Carolina, Florida, Tennessee, Kentucky. I was lucky enough to get to go to Europe once. I was in Spain for a week my junior year in high school.
¿Habla español?
Poco.
Pocas palabras, huh? The pattern for many is to enter college directly out of high school, to then choose a vocation, to get married, and finally to have children and hopefully to live happily ever after. What are the alternatives to this?
Well, actually, there was a time when I thought that's the way things were going to be. I was going to graduate and get a job and in a couple years get married and have kids and, you know, be basically a suburbanite family. But just recently, I have had a lot of opinions change about that. I hope to, after I graduate, I've been considering taking a year off school and just traveling around the country and coming back and possibly going back to school for my master's degree before I settle down. At this point in my life, I really don't want to think about settling down because there's so many things that I want to do that I haven't had a chance to really explore.
Well, your view has changed. I mean, when you got out of high school, you had one set of perceptions of the world and what you wanted to do, and at least that's my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk a little bit about that change, how you felt when you were in your last year of high school and how you have evolved to this present state?
Well, my last year in high school, the basic concern was, oh my God, where am I going to get accepted to college? And everybody was going frantic, you know, sending in their applications and waiting for their acceptance letters. And at that point in time, that was the most important thing, was making sure your applications were in on time and, you know, whether or not you got accepted and where your friends were going. But now, 2.5 years later, that I'm going to be graduating in a little over a year, just different things are now important. It's not important like, oh my God, where am I going to be in school? It's going to be like, oh my God, what am I going to do after graduation? And thinking about just getting a job, getting married, having kids, and living just a stable life just kind of doesn't seem like that appealing. I'd rather go out and explore, be able to travel and explore the different things.
Do you have any idea or understanding of where the emphasis might be in the future? In other words, are you willing to possibly forego settling down in order to pursue a career in commercial art or fine art?
I don't know if I would forego settling down because I do want to get married and have a family someday. I don't want to give up my career for a family, however. Hopefully a balance does exist between family and career. And if there is a balance, I hope to be able to find it.
Do you think that balance is more difficult to attain as a woman because of your special desire to have a family?
Or? I don't know if it's different for women. I suppose that depends on whether you're alone or whether you're married. For a single woman, I could see where it would be different, especially if she had children. But if there is a partner involved, there is somebody to take over the parenting responsibilities and a support system to fall back on. So, as a woman, I don't think it's really any different.
You mentioned earlier, before I turned the tape recorder on, that you had at one time been interested in physical therapy. I wonder if you could just sort of give me a brief history of that interest and how that changed into an interest in graphic art.
I don't know. That was actually kind of peculiar because I had worked at a camp for the mentally and physically impaired children, and they were between the ages of 4 and 12 or 13, just real young teenagers. And I was really interested in working with children, and I looked into doing volunteer work, and I spent a few afternoons in the physical therapy department at the hospital, and I thought that was something that I could really get interested in, you know, because I'd be able to work with children, you know, in the rehabilitation and things like that. And in high school, I was also involved in our theater department and the repertory company. And that was something I got more involved in on the more artistic kind of side of things.
Well, this interest in was really not that deep then.
No, not really. It was something that was looked at as a possibility, kind of like, well, maybe I'm interested in this. So I spent a couple afternoons in the physical therapy department and found out that the interest wasn't that much, that my interest in the theater department was more than my interest in pursuing the physical therapy. So it's something that I didn't pursue for that long.
Where did your interest in art come from? Does this have its roots in your talent, which you showed earlier in high school?
I'm not really sure where the interest came from. I mean, my sister is also, she's really talented, and my mom was into more artistic things.
Can you mention how your sister was talented and what your mother did that was artistic?
Sue was into art all through high school, and that was a time when I wasn't really interested in it. But she can paint and she can draw really well. I mean, her illustration skills are incredible. She's very talented as far as like portraiture and illustration go. But that was something she didn't choose to pursue. And my mom was into ceramics and more arts and crafts type stuff.
Where do you think your talents are in this field?
Graphic design, more like magazine layout and creative ideas.
Well, if based on your evaluation of your talents now, what would you see yourself as doing if you wanted to reach a particular goal in graphic arts? What do you think you would do best? I mean, in 5 years from now, for example, if you wanted a particular job, what would that job be?
Actually, I want my own business. I want to own my own graphic design firm. I would want to be like creative director or art director and work along with the artistic staff developing concepts and ideas.
Would this be mostly advertising art?
Not necessarily advertising, just advertising per se, because I'd like to get into other things besides advertising.
Do you have any problem in justifying the end result or the goal of a lot of commercial art? I mean, who cares whether the logo on the peanut jar is red or white or looks good? Does that question ever bother you? In other words, the whole moral issue of advertising art versus fine art, and the fact that you are always working with the bad mouth rap of towards advertising
art. Advertising is like aimed at making money. You just want to sell and sell and sell and sell.
I'm sure you've thought about this, or maybe you haven't. I don't know. But could you talk a little bit about that?
I don't know. I guess that's something I really haven't given a lot of thought to, but I guess that is the main purpose of advertising, is to sell and make money. I guess that's not my perception of why I would get into graphic design. I wouldn't get into graphic design just so I could sell things and make money. I like coming up with the ideas that are going to appeal to people.
All right, I'm a client. You've just shown me 5 of your ideas, and I reject your 3 best ones and pick the worst one. What are you going to tell me?
I think I would question your motives, question what you didn't like about the 3 best designs.
I'm paying you. I pick the design I want. Now what do you say? I'm really reducing this to gross terms, but...
Well, I guess since you're the client and that's what you're paying me to do, I guess I would have to go with what you thought was the best decision.
Very diplomatically stated. You'll survive. Yeah. Do you have any, are you able to gauge at this point in any way the extent to which you prefer to concentrate in graphic arts as opposed to considering settling down and having a family? I mean, this is a difficult juggling act at best.
Trying to juggle a career and a family?
Yeah. Have any thoughts on that at all, or is that just something you're going to leap into and hope for the best?
Well, it's something I don't really want to leap into, and that's kind of, not reckless, that's not the word, but I guess it's something that I want to be a little bit more prepared for, something that I'm going to work on just a little bit before I get into it over my head. I don't just want to leap into getting married and having children and trying to juggle a career. I guess I want to be at least some stable point in my career before I think about getting married and having children.
What do you think of the fine arts students? They're a different breed, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. They are.
Give me a sweeping judgment of them. You don't have to nail them to the wall. I mean, I'm really interested because I sense a real difference in philosophy between the fine arts students and the those who are oriented more towards graphic designs and commercial art. What's going on?
Well, the fine art students, I really don't know a lot of them because I work with most of the graphic design students, but you see people running around with the long hair and the paint-splattered clothes and, you know, spending, you know, you see them in the studios upstairs. And I guess I see theirs as a more self-fulfilling, like they put down on canvas what they want to see and what they think is good. And they're not really they're not selling a product. It's kind of an image.
You say it's self-fulfilling. Does that mean that what you are doing is less self-fulfilling?
No, it's not. It's not really, well, maybe self-fulfilling was a bad choice of words. It's more expressionistic. Maybe that's a better term. Like, they're painting, they look at something and they see, like, I don't know, say a flower pot and fruit, and they just put it down and they render it the way they see it, whether that be naturalistic or whether they want to abstract it. But in graphic design, there are people paying you to do things the way they want it done.
Can you see a conflict there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, that's why they call them starving artists, because I think graphic designers tend to be a little bit more stable than fine artists, because in fine art, you have to worry about having an audience. You have to find somebody who likes your work and maybe, you know, find a gallery that's willing to exhibit your work so you can sell it to make money. But in graphic design, there are more options. You can work in advertising art. God knows in Detroit there's enough advertising agencies that work with the big 3, the automobile industry. Or you can get into photography or, you know, commercial art, graphic design. I guess it's just a little bit more stable field than fine art.
Let me jump to a broader subject. Can you talk a little bit about your general experiences at this university in terms of whether or not it's been a broadening experience, whether you feel you've learned anything? I know you've had a lot of contact with a lot of different students, or maybe you haven't. Maybe you've kept a rather small number of close friends and haven't taken that much advantage of the university itself. I mean, when you came here, you must have had one level of sophistication, and that hopefully has changed, and your view has become different as a result.
Well, coming to Michigan State from Oakland was definitely quite a transition, because I was coming from a school where there were 1,200 people on campus, and there were 13,000 students total, but 89% of them were commuters, so it was kind of like a very small student population. So coming here where there were like 50,000 students, and you know, just about anything you want to do, you could do it here, was kind of overwhelming at first. I kind of didn't know quite where to go.
How did you solve this? What were some of those specific problems? I mean, what you said that was overwhelming. In what sense was it overwhelming, and how did you handle that?
Well, I knew two people here, like two people out of 50,000 on campus, and those were people that I went to high school with. And of course, you know, I got to know my roommate, but still that's a very, very small population, knowing three people out of 50,000. And, you know, so I didn't know anybody in any of my classes. I wasn't familiar with the campus. I wasn't familiar with the city. So through fall term, I was pretty much a recluse. I really didn't do a whole lot because I was so intimidated. But through winter and spring term, I got out and started doing more things and
for example,
got to know
what
more.
Were the other things that you did? How did you break away out of this cocoon?
Well, I got involved in Union Activities Board, which is like a programming board, and they have activities on campus. And I was a committee coordinator for an event that was held in December. So I got to work with people on the activities board, plus I had two or three people working with me as a committee. And just recently, I did some work with Fairchild Theater as an assistant to the publicist. So I got to, you know, meet a few more people and went out and, you know, did that type of thing. And just recently, I joined the Spartan Pistol Club over at Demonstration Hall. And I've met people through that, and kind of, it was something I was always curious about, you know, learning about shooting and stuff like that. So it's kind of just going out and starting to do things instead of just staying in my room and doing homework all the time.
Well, in all of this madness to get an education, when you look back on the experiences you've had, are there any humorous anecdotes that you'd care to relate? I mean, any water fights in the dorm or something really humorous that comes to mind?
Oh, geez. Actually, things here are pretty mellow. I don't know. I remember a time at Oakland where we were just all going stark raving mad, because it was near finals time and we were all studying and we were just bundles of nerves. So me and my suite mate got into the most horrendous water fight. Started out with water fights, turned into dish soap, and then she grabbed a shampoo bottle, and then it got into shaving cream. And so we had shaving cream in our hair, and we were like making mohawks and making little spikes, and there was shaving cream all over the walls and all over the floor and all over us. And then one of our other suite mates walked in, took one look at us, and her chin about hit the floor. She was furious, but we were just dying. We were laughing so hard. I think
Nothing like that has happened here?
No, not really. I mean, I guess the people that I hang around with are just a little bit more sedate. I guess, I don't know. I guess at Oakland we were just a little bit more freer with each other. We didn't care about making fools out of ourselves in front of each other. And it was just a way of dealing with the tension.
Are you idealistic at all?
Yeah.
In a sense of wanting to change the world, that sort of thing?
Yes, I think.
Can you talk about that?
I don't know. I see the things that I think are wrong in the world, like, you know, nuclear war and child abuse and rape and things like that. And I guess I tend to think about it that that's not the way it should be, and that, you know, I would be able to do something to change this.
Have you done anything?
No, not really. I haven't really gone out and done anything per se, but I guess, I mean, I read up a lot on the subjects, and it's something that I'm interested in doing something about, but I guess I just don't know where to start.
Have you had contact with foreign students?
Not really, no, not really.
Minority groups?
Mm-mm.
I am going, as I said earlier, I'm going to make a transcript of this, and I'll give you a copy.
Okay.
I'm still typing Matthews, that'll take me a while.
Okay. I'm sure that'll take quite a while.
I'm on page 20 already.
Page 20?
Yeah, about an hour and a half with him. And I want you to take this transcript and really read it 10 years from now and use it as a basis for comparing a point of view which you may have then with the point of view you're expressing now.
Oh, I'm sure.
With that in mind, just say something about your philosophy of life, your goals, your ambitions, et cetera, that you might want to relate to in hindsight 10 years from now.
What I think my goals are now?
Yeah, what you really want out of life.
I don't know, I guess I see my view of life at this point in time as slightly sheltered, having just, you know, been in a university environment for 3 years. So I guess I'm kind of intimidated by what the real world, quote unquote, has to offer. But in a way, I'm looking forward to exploring what there is and hopefully expanding my horizons before I settle down and get married and kind of have a stable life, I guess. Actually, I don't think I really want to settle down even after I get married, though, and have children. I think I really still want to, you know, continue to do things and...
To have one foot in a professional world? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, one foot in a professional world and, you know, pursue my own interests, you know, like traveling and seeing what else there is out there in the world to do and to see.
Do you have a perspective on where you've come from? I mean, can you look at your background and say, I'm going in this direction because of this, this, and this? I mean, can you be analytical in that sense? Influences of your sister, your parents, the school you went to?
I'm not really sure about that because, I don't know, my childhood was kind of unstable due to a very, very rocky marriage, I guess. So I think in a way that kind of has a lot to do with, you know, my want for a family and, you know, marriage and family and kind of a stable life. But, you know, my mom has pretty much stayed in one place and done one thing all of her life, and I really don't want to do that. You know, it's kind of like I want to get out and do things and see things.
The question on page 3, I don't know, perhaps you filled out this questionnaire, but it refers to a series of questions which were asked undergraduates. And it asked if the students desired improvement in the following areas: the ability to listen to others, the ability to give and receive love, the ability to get along with others, the ability to maintain lasting relationships. And 50% of these students said that they needed no improvement in these areas. What is your reaction to those statistics?
They must be pretty secure with themselves.
Is that a reflection of the students you've contacted? Are they that secure?
Outwardly, I think they try and say that they are, but I think inwardly, and whether they admit it to themselves or not, they're kind of a little bit insecure. The ability to listen to others. Actually, I think I'm a pretty good listener. I think I get along with people. The ability to maintain lasting relationships, that's kind of funny. Because I just broke off a 4.5-year relationship with my boyfriend, and it was kind of like fighting tooth and nail for the last year or two trying to keep things together. So that kind of strikes me as just slightly amusing. The ability to give and receive love, I think I would I would definitely have to question myself on that one, because of the household in which I grew up with my stepfather and his alcoholic rages and the absence of a real father figure, because my mom and dad were divorced when I was like 3. I have a real problem dealing with men in a relationship. So I guess to give and receive love, I think sometimes I get dependent and I need somebody to love me, or I feel really insecure. And that's something that I'm going through right now, because I just broke off a very long-term relationship. So I guess that's something I'm really having a lot of problem with recently.
Well, I take it that you might say then that most students need improvement in at least one of these areas.
I'd say at least one. I mean,
it's like
nobody's perfect. I mean, they've got to have just, you know, the slightest bit of insecurity.
Oh, let me ask one question. You're here in college, and you've certainly acquired a lot of basic information. Have the courses here taught you how to approach problems differently, or have you simply added to the quantity of your information? Do you know what I'm asking?
Yeah, they have, in a lot of ways, taught me to approach them differently, because instead of just adding to the knowledge, say, okay, now I know this. I used to know this, and now I know this and this and this and this. I think I've learned how to approach things differently. I can sit back and say, well, I could work at it from this angle, or maybe I could work at it from a different angle.
You didn't do that earlier?
No, not really. Not really.
I mean, how did you approach things earlier?
It was a lot of trial and error, actually. Kind of like, oh, well, if this doesn't work, I guess we move on to something else until we find something that does. But now I can sit back and think about it and say, well, okay, you know, this won't work for this reason, so let's try this.
Are you telling me you're a clearer thinker?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Overall, how would you evaluate teachers here? How would you rate them? You don't have to mention names. I won't incriminate you.
I've had a lot of really good teachers this year. A definite improvement from the teachers at Oakland. They were so boring. But maybe that's because they were all general education classes and I wasn't really interested in them anyway. But the art instructors, I think, have all been really, really good. And some of them are really tough. Some of them are tougher than others. And, you know, they really force you to really sit back and think about things. But in a way that's challenging, and that kind of broadens your thinking. But each one of them, I guess, is unique in the way that they run things and the way they get you to think. But overall, I think all my teachers I've really liked them, and I've learned a lot from each one of them.
Can you evaluate your strong points as a graphic artist? Do you tend to be better at certain types of designs?
I think my strong points lay in working with topography and layout and the creative concept. I think my weak points are, to some extent, executing the ideas, because my illustration skills aren't as strong as they should be. But I can come up with the idea, but sometimes it doesn't come down on paper like I want it to.
You can compare college to high school, and you have a certain view of both of those institutions. And I'm sure you have a certain anticipation of what awaits you out there in the commercial world. Do you think that colleges are really doing the student justice in terms of the training they're giving the college student, in terms of preparing him for the commercial world? I mean, why not a work-study program? I mean, why aren't you working every summer in a graphic arts department, for example, in order to wet your feet in terms of the commercial world? Or is that...
Well, some people do, but that's due to their own work, and they get out there and you know they pound the pavement, but it's up to the student to go out and look for it. If the student needs to find something out, they have to seek somebody out. They don't have like special classes saying, you know, this is what you can do, and if you want to do this, this is how you do it. If you want to find out anything, you have to do it on your own. And if you want to get a job in your field, you have to start looking, and you have to start looking early, and you have to do it on your own.
You haven't started.
Actually, no, I don't have a job yet for this summer, but I have an opportunity to freelance with the company that I worked for last summer, so I think I'm going to take
What company was that? Talk a little bit about that.
It was Penny Saver Magazine, which is a community shopping magazine in Mount Clemens, and they have gone from a monthly publication, and now they're biweekly and probably going weekly within the next few months, I'd say probably even over the summer, early fall. And I think their sales volume, I think it was, has grown like 400% in the last year or two, and they're expanding throughout Michigan. They're pretty much in the metro area now, but they're expanding farther and farther out. And they have one issue like going to the south part of Warren, one issue going to the north part of Warren, and one issue going here. And they're up to 17 issues now. So they put out 17 magazines every 2 weeks. And
what would you be doing?
Working on the Macintosh computers, doing a lot of the layouts on the computers, maybe a little bit of keylining.
Does that interest you more than actually designing logos, for example, or putting together an ad where you control the design yourself?
No. Actually, that's more what I want to do is design rather than just do ads on a computer. But I like the experience on the Macintosh computers because it's a system that I'm really interested in working with. So I guess for the experience working with the different programs is what I'm interested in.
Yeah. How conscious are you of the influence of fine art on commercial art? Can you talk about that a bit?
The influence of fine art on commercial art? Geez, I don't know.
I don't know whether you've read the Studs Terkel book, but in his book, Working, one of the people that he interviewed said, most of us, like assembly line workers, have jobs that are too small for the spirit. Jobs are not big enough for people. What do you think was meant by this? What is that a reflection of, in your opinion?
I don't know, assembly line workers. I don't know, I guess too small for the spirit, I guess that would mean that they don't get a lot of satisfaction out of it. Out of their job, it's just something they do to make a living. It's not really very, very fulfilling. It's just something that you have to do to get by. Or, I mean, it could be that...
Are you wary of that? I mean, there's not much distance now between you and the crass commercial world, so to speak. Is that a standard part of the fear that many people have who are seniors at universities?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I think that a lot of the people are looking to get jobs to make money, but you know, maybe they won't enjoy it. But what's it worth if you hate your job, even if you're getting paid $40,000 a year? Is it really worth it to like dread going to work every day? You know, I don't see it as worth it. You know, if I didn't enjoy my job, I don't even think the money would be compensation.
Can you evaluate whether or not students tend to want too much too quickly? I mean, one of the standard criticisms that the older generation always levels at the younger generation is that you don't have to, you want to get everything instantly. You want to start off at $40,000 and you don't want to have to pay your dues and blah, 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 blah. Do you have any feelings on that subject at all?
That is so true, because they want everything and they want it yesterday. You know, it's kind of... Just the students, you know, just, I guess my generation or my peers, I guess that's what I see. People want to get out there and
you know, they want to have the perfect resume and the perfect interview suit and, you know, the perfect this and the perfect that and their perfect little planned answers to planned questions, because they want to make a good impression so they can get a job and make lots of money. You know, they want the perfect job and, you know, the perfect salary, and they want a nice car that drives really fast, and, you know, they want their own apartment, and they want, I guess, very material things.
That's what they want. What do you want?
I guess in to some extent I'm guilty of, you know, wanting the same things.
Do you put on the perfect suit and carry the perfect resume to the corporation of your dreams and sign up?
Yeah, I'm just as guilty, so I'm part of the they. But then again, I see that as not really as far as like wearing the perfect suit and having the perfect resume and having the perfect portfolio. That's because that's something that you have to do. That's something that the employer has kind of, I guess, set the standards. It's something you have to do. If you want to get a job, you have to conform to what the employer wants to see. So to some extent, that's not really part of a student's choice.
Do you have people criticize or hear people criticize the current generation because of this? I mean, is this something you've heard before? Isn't every generation, when it reaches the age of 19 to 20, don't they all want instant gratification?
Yeah,
or is it something special about this generation?
I don't know. I've read stuff in all the newspapers and magazines where it's been dubbed the me generation, and, you know, this generation is selfish and all they want is, you know, the instant gratification, lots of money, perfect job, and all this other stuff.
Were they more rebellious in the 60s?
Well, I don't know if you could say more rebellious, but I'm sure they were. I mean, rebellious, I mean, I can see people running around in tie-dyed t-shirts and long hair and ripped up jeans just so they could go against the establishment. I mean, I'm sure that would count as rebelliousness.
Yeah, but 10 years later, they're all working in the bank as clerks, aren't they? The Chicago 7, Abby Hoffman crowd, all of those rebels from the 1960s, did they cash in? I mean, did they throw away their idealism and become white-collar workers? What happened to them?
I guess they realized it was a way of life that they couldn't maintain. It was kind of moving from one phase to the next, kind of, maybe it's a gain in maturity, I don't know. Maybe maturity's not the right word, but I guess as you grow older and the years go by, an idea gets old, it kind of gets stale after a while. You just can't keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. You have to move on to something new and something different, and kind of move on to a new phase in your life. You can't stay the same person forever.
Let me go for one more question here. Let's make it a doozy.
Oh no.
What do you fall back on when you're feeling depressed or you've done poorly in a class or something? Is it a personal philosophy? Is it a religion? Or do you isolate yourself? Do you go to your friends and try and talk it out? What do you do? You must go through a mechanism here, or employ a mechanism.
I don't know. When I get depressed, I've started writing in a journal just recently. I've been keeping it for like a month or two, I think, something like that. And that's kind of been a real eye-opener, because I can even look back at things I wrote a month ago and just kind of go, oh my God, you know, why was I so worried about that? It kind of seems so trivial now. I guess that's a way that I can hash things out in my own head, kind of as a free flow thought process. But I go to my friends a lot, you know, and talk to them. I guess I'm lucky because I don't really stay depressed about things for a long time. I guess I'm an optimist, so.
Well, do you have any final words of wisdom that you wish to pass on to future generations or the next younger generation?
Is that kind of like what's it saying? If I knew then what I know now, is that the way it goes?
How does that go?
If I knew then what I know now, I think I'd do things differently. Yeah, I think I would.
Any words of advice to the professors? Or?
Actually, I think going on the idea, if I knew then what I know now, I think my basic thoughts are that students aren't prepared for college, because I kind of walked into my freshman year and it was like, oh my God, what a slap in the face. It was like, you know, kind of like a dose of reality. And they prepare the students academically, you know, like college prep courses and things like that. But in some ways, I don't think the students are prepared. So a lot of people, you know, change their major 4 or 5 times, or they become seventh year seniors because they don't know what the heck they're doing.
What is anyone prepared for at the age of 19?
Yeah, that's true. 19 just seems so young. It's like, I'm only 20, but God, I don't feel 20. It's like, I always thought 20 was so old, you know, 20 was grown up and adult and all that. But now that I'm 20, it's kind of like, you know, I feel like, well, maybe I'll be, you know, more ready for things and more prepared when I'm 25. When I'm 25, I can just see getting to 25 and saying, well, God, well, what about this? Maybe I'll be more prepared for this when I'm 30. Maybe when I'm 30. So, I don't know, maybe.
Can anything be done to help students to resolve some of their emotional? You say most students are prepared academically, you say. More or less.
Yeah, I mean, they don't get into their math classes and fail or anything because they've been taught algebra and trigonometry and geometry and calculus and so on and so on and so on. But as far as how to adapt socially, I mean, because you're dealing with a lot more freedom and a lot more responsibility than you had in high school because you're living away from home. I'm saying for the ones that do live away from home. And I think in my case, at least personally, I wish I would have been more familiar with the resources that were available to me to find out about, you know, what I can do with this degree or what I can do with this degree and how do I go about getting this degree and, you know, where do I find out about what I want to know? It's kind of like I didn't...
Do you know now?
Some. I still don't think I'm familiar enough with the resources that are available to me because I keep finding out new things. It's like, God, why didn't somebody tell me this? You know, I just wish somebody would have told me different things.
Why don't
but
you talk?
Like I was talking about earlier, if you want to find out something, you really have to go out and do it for yourself. Those, I mean, the resources are there, but nobody tells you where they are or you know, what they're used for. You really have to go out and just do it yourself, which is kind of, in a way, too bad, you know, because
But how would they tell you? Would this be a course?
I don't know, like through advisors, like, I don't know, maybe have it required that you should meet with an advisor and or something. I'm not really sure, but there's got to be a way to make those resources more, not available, but more, God, what's the word I'm thinking of? More obvious. I mean, let them know where to go to find out what they want to know.
It really comes back to one of the questions that I had asked, and that was, or that's on this list, that students are overwhelmed by a quantity of information, but they don't find an effective way of relating that to some personal goal they may have. It doesn't work through their emotional system. And there ought to be tools available which enable them to do that more effectively.
Yeah.
And that's what I hear you saying, but I'm not sure whether I'm paraphrasing your thought accurately. I mean, here you are, you take all these courses in graphic arts, and how are they going to relate to the field that you hope to end up in? I mean, the counselors don't know at the counseling center because they're not familiar with graphic arts. So that only leaves you with one option, and that is that I see. There may be others.
The art director at Oakland University Publications Department is an MSU graduate, and that's pretty much how I ended up here in the graphic arts department. It was because I talked to her and I said, you know, I'm interested in getting to the position where you are as an art director somewhere, and, you know, could you recommend a school or, you know, what could you tell me about the design programs that you know of? And she recommended Michigan State very highly. But I would really like to go back and talk to her again and find out how she related her education to getting a position in the field and how she advanced to the position of art director and, you know, things of that nature.
This person had gone to Michigan State, right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll call this the last one.
Okay. But, okay. Like, for the 100
level...
Could
you just talk about that? Just begin again and say what the background of these teachers are who are teaching graphic?
Actually not. The foundation level classes, actually, the 100 level classes that all art students are required to take are basically taught by grad students who haven't really worked in the professional field, but they are, or the ones I've had at least, are fine artists. They're not graphic designers. Like my three-dimensional forms teacher wants to be a sculptor for a living, you know, which is great. You know, I have nothing against that, but that is a fine art. And
what does that have to do with your interest?
Well, I guess maybe it taught me how to think three-dimensionally, you know, think about how objects are situated in space or something like that, and how to work with more than just two-dimensional kinds of things, like a, you know, a magazine page or a newspaper page or a poster or whatever.
Are you telling me then that it is more important to have someone who's had a background in fine art in place of a person who may have a lot of highly developed skills in the field that you will be entering?
No. Actually, I don't think it's more important to have somebody with a background in fine art.
I mean, I think it's better once they get to the higher level courses, like the 200, 300, and 400 level courses, that they do have people with experience in professional fields, you know, such as graphic design. I mean, I don't think they could have grad students teaching 200, 300, and 400 level classes.
Well, are those teaching, those instructors
grad students teach 100 level classes, basically.
And those who are teaching the upper level classes, do they have backgrounds in commercial art?
Yes, they do.
And from them you learn techniques?
From them, I've learned the graphic design techniques.
Are they good instructors?
Oh, yeah. Very challenging, especially the teacher I have now for graphic design, because she's worked in the graphic design field for several years, and she worked in China.
It's Why are they like teaching?
The grad students?
No, those teaching in the advanced. What happened? They were in the field. What happened?
I don't really know. Maybe they want to pass on their knowledge to the students, you know, what they know, because they have, you know, their degrees in, you know, art and graphic design or commercial art or whatever, and they have developed their skills through working in the professional field. And I don't know, maybe they want to pass on their knowledge and, you know, teach the students the techniques.
Do you think that it might be possible that there was any disenchantment that they experienced in the graphics art?
I don't know. I wonder about that every once in a while. It's like, God, if you are out in the graphic design field and this is really what you want to do, why are you teaching? You know, I don't really know. It's kind of like, why would you leave an ad agency or a design firm or, you know, wherever you happen to be working and go back to a teaching position? Because from what I understand, teaching positions aren't too highly paid. I mean, maybe at the university level they are, but I don't know.
Well, so you've eliminated one possibility. They didn't come back to the university for money.
Yeah, that could be. That could be. But
No, I think you're right.
I guess the reason they teach is probably because they're really interested in what they're doing and they want to pass on their knowledge to somebody else. Maybe they're interested in working with students and, you know, finding out what students can do and seeing potential and kind of nurturing that potential.